Hello, this is Dan Weir from Frost Valley YMCA, and I'm sitting here with Sylvia Van Meerten. And she's an old friend, but on top of that, runs the Empower Autism blog and is also the Empower Autism Incorporated, which is basically setting up autism programs in communities and camp programs and recreation. And so we've been talking for quite a bit. On top of running those two things, she's also one of the camp directors at Dragonfly Forest, overseeing their autism program. And worked at Frost Valley YMCA and Camp Algonquin YMCA as well, too. And so, so we've been talking for a while about basically finding the right camp from a parent perspective and from a camp director's perspective for a child that has autism. And we've been going back and forth of just all the different things. And one of the things that we really want to start off with was this point. I'm actually going to let Sylvia kind of jump right into it. But yeah.
Thanks, Dan. What I was saying is that a lot of kids with autism can actually attend a typical summer camp. They don't necessarily need a camp specifically for kids with autism. There are some kids who do, but a lot of kids on the spectrum don't need that. And instead, if their parents plan it carefully, and if their camp can make some really simple and cheap accommodations, they can fit in at typical camp and have a great time. And one of the things that I think is so important about that is that a person with autism, a kid with autism, really has a whole different perspective on life. And having that perspective in your cabin or at your camp really promotes a whole different kind of diversity that a lot of camps are missing. It's a term that we use in the autism world called neurodiversity, where, you know, people have different brains. And part of what we get to teach at camp is that different brains and different perspectives can be appreciated. And that's one of the biggest benefits of camp.
And
so I think with at a typical camp, having these kids doesn't just help them, but it also helps your camp program.
It adds that diversity and makes everybody feel comfortable instead of, you know, just one type of person.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are a little worried about autism because it has this sort of mysterious, slightly scary reputation. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people don't know that much about it, but they do know that they knew a kid with autism.
Or they see the ribbons on the back of someone's car.
Exactly. And a lot of times they think, you know, a kid with autism has severe meltdowns, that they're going to have a tantrum, they're, you know, impossible to communicate with.
Yeah.
And it's true. Sometimes kids with autism have meltdowns. It's frustrating to have autism.
Sometimes adults have meltdowns.
And sometimes adults kids have meltdowns, especially at camp.
Yes, yeah.
So anyway, I think if a parent has a child on the spectrum, that they shouldn't shy away from going to a typical camp.
Yeah.
And a typical camp shouldn't necessarily shy away from having a kid with autism. There's a few specific things that both sides can do to make the relationship work.
Yeah, definitely. And this, like, when we were talking about this, a lot of this, I definitely, working at Frost Valley for a while, they have an inclusion program, so a lot of this was a shock to me that this was such a big deal. I was like, well, what do people don't include? And after talking to a number of camp directors over the years and being a year-round camp director, I realized how much of a hiccup or how much of a hurdle it is just to get over that mindset that they could have everybody in the cabin together. Like, it gets built up fairly easy.
Totally.
Yeah.
It does. And Frost Valley is a great example of that because the whole staff is already of the mindset that different kinds of kids can be fun for everyone. And so just like all the other things we teach at camp, if the staff have the right mentality, all those values, those camp values trickle down and the campers pick them up, they learn them, they embrace them because the staff do.
Definitely, yeah.
And that's one of the first things is to do some staff training about autism and about neurodiversity in general.
Nice, yeah.
So anyway, if you're a parent, I would say call around to different camps in your area, get online, look at what's around, and call and see if any of them have ever had a camper with autism. And you don't necessarily need to go to a camp that's ever had a camper with autism. Instead, what you're looking for is a camp director or a camp staff who's flexible and open to the idea and excited to meet someone with autism.
Yeah, that enthusiasm that just
the
kind
enthusiasm.
Of... Yeah,
exactly.
So key, yeah.
And ask to go visit. Go look at the program. One of the biggest things that helps a kid with autism succeed at camp is adequate preparation for what it will be like. One of the things that I've seen parents do that works so well is to go and visit camp with their camera and take pictures of the cabins, to, even if it's winter.
Oh, yeah.
Take pictures of whatever the camp looks like, where people eat, where they use the restroom.
And have and that then, association, yeah.
And bring it home and write about your experience for your kid, like a little social story, a little book, picture book about what camp is like.
And most camps do that already.
Right.
It's just adapting it slightly, you know, like instead of just having it on your website, now just adding a little text with it so that it has more context.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times kids with autism feel a great amount of anxiety about anything new. And that's true for almost all campers. They're all a little worried about camp. They're worried if their needs are going to get met. You know, they're worried about the food. They're worried about embarrassing themselves. The same thing's true for kids with autism, but sometimes they're worried about more unpredictable things, things that, we can't necessarily put our finger on. But if we set them up with all the preparation that we can, then we can eliminate enough of that that they don't feel as anxious going into it.
Yeah, it's just, it's from what I understand and my experience, it's just as there's a they have to set up the routine in their mind necessarily a little bit even before kind of jumping into it.
Yes. In fact, one of the main successful techniques is if you as a counselor or a parent can effectively paint the right expectation so that you're child with autism can access the same expectation that you have. Mm-hmm. You guys are on the same page before you do something. Then you don't have to tell them no once you're doing it. They're already on the same page as you.
In a way, that's pretty similar to how I deal with homesickness. You know, like I talk about how, like, you know, day three is really where a child will get over their homesickness because they have the routine down now. They know where they're going from, you know, waterfront to the main building, you know, bathroom here. Like, they're not worried about when they're going to get their next meal, per se. They know the routine.
You know, that's such a good point. And the routine, you know, we do at Dragonfly Forest, we have 70 kids with autism that come at the same time for an overnight session. And the first 24 hours, the anxiety is really high. The kids are nervous. They're not quite sure if they're going to have fun. But at that 24-hour point, which for us is lunch on the second day, the schedule starts repeating itself. And it's this amazing sigh of relief that goes through the dining hall right when they're eating lunch. You know, they're eating lunch the second time.
This group epiphany.
It's a group epiphany, and they're all like, oh. You know, they all have a schedule in front of them, which is another thing
that really helps. Yeah.
You know, written schedule or visual schedule, anything that make that so that they believe you about the routine, basically.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it, and they realize that they're going to do the same thing this afternoon as they did yesterday afternoon. And it's amazing. Everything evens out.
Oh, definitely.
Small anxiety behaviors go away. The routine is so important. And camp's perfect for that. We're in a routine. The structure's built in.
And we do that already. I mean, like, people want to have surprises for their kids. But at the same point in time, why have a surprise that's going to end up being negative experience for the child? Just giving them a little heads up, like, we're going to be doing this just so you know. And putting them aside.
Exactly.
On top of
that,
it's also showing the respect they need.
Yeah.
And building that relationship.
Respecting the kind of mind that they have.
Yeah, it's no different than looking out for a friend if you're out somewhere as well.
Right, or telling a kid with a clown phobia that somebody's about to be acting like a clown.
Yeah, definitely.
And another thing that I've seen work really well for a parent is to make a kind of a special kit for their kid to bring with some structure things. For instance, a timer and some really high interest activities so that a counselor can set the timer for certain difficult transitions. You know, a kid that doesn't really want to stop swimming can sometimes, you know, get yelled at camp because
they've been attempted
to transition a few times. If it's not working, a counselor gets frustrated, even a good counselor. But something simple like a timer can structure a transition so that you can say, and when the timer goes off in 5 minutes, it's going to be time to get out of the water.
Those things
can go a long way because it's not a personal power struggle. It's just the timer says it's time to get out. It isn't me telling you. And it works. And if you send one to camp.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that of that whole concept and like a perspective that camp directors can understand too is, you know, like if you're at a conference and someone says lunch is going to be at 12:15 and you're looking at your watch, it's 12:20 and you're like, what is going on? Like, I have that internal freak out every time, but this is just a more internal freak out that causes some different behavior problems.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it isn't just people with autism that like to have their schedule and routine.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that shows up to a conference,
to me, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. They immediately look at their schedule.
We were
and
joking,
figure out what they want to go to.
And we were joking this morning about how my routine's off because my cup of tea was messed up because they gave me a cup of coffee instead of a cup of tea.
Right,
and I drink coffee, and I'm like, and now I'm like, I know.
You've been grouchy for 2 hours.
Yes, pretty
totally.
Much, yeah.
And, you know, if a camper with autism does have a meltdown, often, I've been working in the autism world for about 10 years, and I am still wary of meltdowns, of course, and they aren't always pretty, but also, they usually don't last more than about 10 or 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and when they're over, they're really over. You know, a kid with autism isn't necessarily holding a grudge against you.
They're not going to bring it back up.
Because they had a meltdown. Yeah. And you know, a lot of kids have 20-minute...
Oh, yeah.
You know, we just
yeah.
don't call it the buzzword of meltdown, but that yeah. is what they're doing.
No, yeah, it's a temper tantrum or
a temper
anything.
Tantrum
yeah.
or an argument or they're being yeah. defiant or whatever it is. You know, those moments are really nothing to be afraid of. In fact, those moments, overcoming those moments... is where the real teaching happens at camp.
Yeah.
You know, we can't say, you will never be frustrated in your life, I promise.
Yeah.
Instead, what we can say to kids in reality is, I can give you a couple more tools so that when you do get frustrated, when you are feeling like you're going to have a meltdown, what can you do before it to try to prevent it? What can you do afterwards to pull yourself back to having fun, you know? How can you work harder at not giving up? And that's where kids with autism have a lot to teach us.
Yeah.
Because it is very frustrating and confusing to have autism. And watching them come back from it all the time, you know, being confused and frustrated enough to have a meltdown, and then being able to put it aside and be like, okay, let's just go to lunch.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go swimming and I'm going to be okay. That's inspirational.
And a lot of that starts with making the right hire for a staff member. You know, like there's definitely, some staff members that will use ridicule to get people out of temper tantrums or meltdowns,
right.
or whatever. And definitely for a child with autism, that doesn't make sense, first of all.
No.
And it just spirals out from there.
You're totally yeah. right. And there's, luckily, at this point, because autism has been around for a while now, there's a lot of staff that have some experience. It isn't hard to ask around your staff who has autism experience. And you're right, you know, it's having the combination of a good staff, a well-prepared camper,
yeah,
and a camp that's willing to make a few accommodations can really make the experience of having a camper with autism beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And it's something, I mean, the other thing I look at is, like, if public schools are able to include people, there should be no reason that a camp shouldn't as well, too. You know, but with being honest about what the care they could provide, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, well, that's great. So before we go, do you want to tell people about your blog, where they could find you and
sure,
reach you? Yeah,
sure. I write a blog called Empower Autism, and it's at empowerautism.com. And it's mostly me saying specific things that I think are really positive or beneficial for people with autism. I highlight adults with autism that are successful in their lives. And part of what I do is autism trainings for camps and for organizations like rec centers that want to be more accommodating.
Nice.
And I write about some of those projects on my blog.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely tweeted some of your articles. They definitely... It's nice to kind of see that breath of fresh air and such a industry sometimes it can get, you know, like muddled in terminology and jargon and this not and what you really do is you personalize it. You make people realize, like, no, this is just any other child, they just need this, you know, that sort of thing too.
And that's how I feel about it. It's yeah. been really a great outlet for me to blog since yeah. otherwise I just talk my friends' ears off to the camp.
Just go right on the computer. Nice. Yes. Great. Well, thank you
All
for
right.
the time.
Thanks, Dan.